You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, the Royal Commission of Inquiry into Abuse in State Care was released. It revealed that at least 250,000 people were affected by abuse in Aotearoa's state care system from 1950 to 1999. The report also found that of those in state care, Māori were disproportionately represented, and when it came to individuals that had been affected by abuse, a vastly higher number were Māori. Now, the government must move forward with redress, saying they will be issuing apologies to victims and survivors. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the ACT Party's Simon Court about how this redress will be approached and how the government will ensure this system will avoid such dire outcomes in the future. We also talked about the government moving to overturn the court appeal on the Marine and Coastal Area Act. In 2011, the government introduced a system for Māori to make claims to their coastal land. However, Māori claimants had to prove they had exclusively used and occupied an area from 1840 to the present day without substantial interruption. Last year, the Court of Appeal made a decision that groups only need to show they had enough control over the area that they could keep others from using it, making it substantially easier for Māori to claim their rightful land. However, the government now wants to overturn this, claiming the decision will affect other New Zealanders' rights to the land. I kicked our interview off, however, on the inquiry into abuse in state care. Last week, the Royal Commission of Inquiry into Abuse in State Care report was released. It revealed that 250,000 people were affected by this abuse from 1950 to 1999. Now, how does the government plan to go forward with redress? There's talk of it being monetary as well as issuing apologies, but for survivors, does it not go a little bit deeper than that?
The government acknowledges the bravery and the courage of over 3,000 survivors who shared their experiences with the Commission and contributed to the work that produced the report. And we do owe it to survivors to understand what happened and ensure that the government's response is delivered with respect and the dignity that those victims and survivors deserve. I understand that clarity will be provided on that response by November. Was what Minister Erica Stanford stated in the House last week when she spoke to the report being tabled in Parliament. We are committed to responding to the findings and recommendations in the report and the redress recommendations, but that is a matter for Minister Stanford and other ministers in the social development portfolio who are working with Cabinet to come up with some recommendations which will be presented back to the survivors.
And if we're talking money-wise, if you can speak on this, there's been estimates that the redress will cost $500 million, but there was no plan for this set out in this in the annual budget. So do you have any idea of how the government's going to go forward with paying for that?
I understand that Minister Erica Stanford and the other ministers involved in the social development portfolios are going to work on a response to the report, and what that includes, and you know, which may include financial compensation of some kind, is up to them and ultimately for Cabinet to decide. So I don't have any further details about that, but Minister Stanford made it very clear that there's over 100 recommendations that need to be considered and that the government will consider them and will be providing response to the victims and survivors in a way that's respectful and acknowledges that you know, they do need.
Does the ACT Party have faith that moving forward, this government and the system will be able to avoid the mistakes of the past?
I certainly do. And what's been disappointing is to see moves to politicise the report and you know, essentially try to cast the current government's policies in light of the awful things that happened in the past, where, you know, to be honest, some of the things that happened were evil. And you know, what we're doing, and certainly what Minister Karen Chaw is doing in her role as Minister for Children, is making sure that the safety and well-being of those in the care of the state comes first.
But what we can talk about is the future of this government moving forward. If we look at the report, we can see that Māori were disproportionately represented within state care and even more overrepresented in those who had been abused in this care. So how will this government avoid similar outcomes for Māori in the future?
Well, I think the initiatives that Children's Minister Karen Chua is taking to improve the performance of Oranga Tamariki, where many children from Māori families have ended up in the past and are still continuing to end up in the care of the state, such as making sure that the facilities where children are housed are appropriate, are modern, are clean and safe, that the monitoring, particularly the external monitoring for facilities and for the operations of Oranga Tamariki and its staff have independent oversight, and you know, that does include the independent children's monitor, the ombudsman, and the Children's Commissioner, which will have their own specific roles in terms of monitoring facilities and performance of Oranga Tamariki. I think it's important that all staff have been fully vetted and received appropriate training to ensure that they can fulfil their obligations to the children in their care, and also make sure that, you know, if there are any problems identified, that they're reported quickly and addressed quickly. Because it's quite clear, not just from the report, but from some of the behaviours that we've learned about over the past few years in organisations like Oranga Tamariki, those staff, some staff have not been well trained and well supported, and that has led to some very, very disturbing situations.
Last week, the government announced that they were going to overturn the court appeal on the Marine and Coastal Area Act. This is going to make it more difficult for Māori to make customary claims on coastlines. Why is this court appeal being overturned? Where has the demand for this decision come from?
So some years ago, there was a decision sought by an iwi group to establish their customary rights and customary, title to an area of foreshore that the then Labor government under Helen Clark said, we will never accept that. They shouldn't be able to do that. And so the Helen Clark Labor government passed the Foreshore and Seabed Act, which led to all kinds of protests. Eventually, one of the reasons for the formation of Te Pāri Māori under Tariana Turia, he said, I can't accept being part of a Labor government and a Labor Party which would do that to people, take away their rights. A subsequent government introduced the Marine and Coastal Areas Act that was to provide for customary titles or customary rights for those iwi and hapu which could demonstrate that they had had continuous occupation and used resources in an area, in a coastal area. And that was the test in the Marine and Coastal Areas Act, which up until recently, judges had applied wisely. And that's the black letter of the law. You had to have continuously occupied the area and demonstrated that you'd been using the resources of the area in order to demonstrate a customary right in that part of the coastline. And so, unfortunately, a judge, Mr. Edwards, decided that title could be awarded far more liberally than Parliament intended, and that that's certainly his decision, if applied more widely, which has set a precedent, so it would be applied more widely, would affect New Zealanders' use of the foreshore and seabed. And so the changes the government's proposing is essentially clarifying what the black letter of the law says and making it clear that that judge's decision cannot stand as precedent.
Why would this have an effect on other New Zealanders? The rule currently is that the land cannot be sold and has no effect on public access, fishing or other recreational activities.
It does still provide for those who benefit from the customary rights that are awarded through this process to have decision making over how others use the seabed and foreshore. And the most obvious challenge around that is for asset owners such as local government, which own seawalls, wharves, jetties, boat ramps, parks, picnic areas, all of that infrastructure you see around the coastline. even bridges that follow the coastal roads would be subject to essentially claims for participation or management or a veto over how those assets are managed and used in the coastal area. That's just one example that I'm familiar with. But the concern is, and it's been raised by many in the legal fraternity, that the Edwards decision could lead to title being awarded far more liberally than Parliament intended, and that would affect New Zealanders' use of the foreshore and seabed.
Do you have any examples of what you're talking about? People not being able to build that infrastructure on the coast due to this court decision?
No, I don't, because the Edwards decision's only just been taken, and it's so different and interprets the law in such a significantly different way from what Parliament intended. This government cannot let that stand, and based on the information that I'm aware of, the decision has to be clarified through basically restoring the test for customary marine title that Parliament originally intended to avoid the consequences that I've been made aware of.
I just want to round off with one final point on this. Te Pāti Māori, I've spoken to them about the same issue, and they've called this an attack on Māori, and that repealing this court appeal means that for the test for Māori to prove their claims is extremely high. Well, how do you respond to that?
Te Pāti Māori, you know, could read the law that Parliament passed, and what they would see is that the Edwards decision is quite different from what Parliament intended. You go back and look at the legislative statement, you go and look at all the policy development papers which are available online. They're simply wrong. These proposed changes will enable the legal recognition of Māori customary rights while protecting the legitimate interests of all New Zealanders, you know, which include local government and, you know, infrastructure asset owners in the marine and coastal area. Te Pāti Māori are wrong about this, and I'm confident the changes we'll make will uphold Māori customary rights, and we'll continue to see those rights given effect to under the Marine and Coastal Areas Act.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Kaur on the inquiry into abuse in state care and the Marine and Coastal Area Act.
That was Simon Kaur from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.